You are now tuned in from the Desk of Low, brought to you by from the That Feeling Podcast Network. If you have a dream, go get it. Welcome back from the Desk of Low. I have with me, we did the interview a little bit different for this one too, because for season three, I wanted to have all walks of life appear on the show. He's a huge name in the underground. You know, it's kind of funny how people can come a long way within, you know, just this year, actually. I have with me on the phone, Mr. Trevor Lane.
Yo, yo.
How are you today, sir?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, sir. So let's get into a little bit of what you do, too, because I asked around about you, too. My man, God Bless Beats, and my man, Flea Lord, they told me that you're a distribution for a lot of vinyl and cassette tapes.
Yeah, I partly do some distribution. I've been fortunate enough this year to been blessed. I put out 20 releases. And I also help just a lot of guys with the artwork and stuff like that, and just help guys make connections and just try and push the culture forward as much as I can.
Are you also an artist yourself?
Yeah, that's really how I got started in everything. I was originally doing artwork. Really the first big project I did was Conway Reject on Steroids. And after that, my artwork really took off.
That artwork is fire, by the way.
Thank you.
But by artist, too, I meant, like, as a rapper, as I meant, too.
I'm not sure what you mean.
Like, did you used to rap?
Yeah, I used to rap. I do a little bit of producing. I do eventually plan on coming out with a project, eventually, but... You know, it's kind of been pushed to the backwards, which kind of makes sense to me now. You know, I've been making a lot of connections with a lot of important people. So by the time I do feel like it's ready, you know, I'll have the right people to send it to and talk to.
So let's get into, like, the beginning of the Trevor Lane story. Like, let's say, like, the beginning of your company. Like, what made you want to start your company?
So obviously I started as a fan first. And, you know, this whole, like... kind of underground movement, I guess you could say, you know, a lot of people say Rock Marciano started it, but, you know, this kind of underground independent hip-hop movement, and, you know, I was just a fan first, and I would be buying physicals myself, and oftentimes, you know, I saw guys, you know, no disrespect to them, of course, but guys like Makami or Zah Fahim was charging like $1,000 for a CD. You know, and then guys, you know, and then other guys, you know, they're charging pop-ups like, you know, Al Divino and stuff. And then at first it pissed me off as a hip-hop fan, but then I realized that, in general, we devalued hip-hop as an art form where it's, like, basically worthless. And those guys realized how valuable it was. So I kind of, you know, that kind of inspired me. And, you know, I saw companies like Fuck Rap and, you know, places like Cuff Con and stuff popping up. And, you know, I saw they were doing it and Loretta and stuff. And I said, you know what? I could do this too.
Yeah, because, like, I see the vision that you're trying to do. And, like, with this, I need, like... With everything that, like, you know, Fat Beats, obviously, like, I just want to make sure that your vision is, like, what I'm just assuming as a fan. You're trying to make, like, something like a next Fat Beats or something like that.
Yeah, yes, I mean, you know, there's room for all of it. I mean, I actually have artwork I have in the bag that I actually can't talk about yet, which is done for Fat Beats. I did, actually two projects that I can't talk about that are getting put out by Fat Beats, and then a third one, I'm not for sure if you're familiar with Pace One from The Outsiders.
Oh yes, I'm very familiar. I'm a rap nerd, so yes, I'm very familiar.
Yeah, so he just came out with a project with Mr. Green, so I did the layout for that. So I have some connections over at Fat Beats, so I'm not in, you know, really trying to be a competitor. I think we can all of this together. There's lots of music to go around for all of us, I think.
Oh, okay. So you're just trying to establish yourself as an individual alongside them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really trying to establish myself as, not as much as a label, but more of just an artist and, you know, a fellow artist to team up with other artists to produce really, you know, like a handmade, a special project, you know, a piece of art that someone can collect that's limited edition. You know, I was really, really inspired by the, you know, the One of One Wu-Tang album that was made, and that really inspired me too, so I really want to put the value back in art, really.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy how you said that, too. That was actually one of my questions I was going to ask you, if you were inspired by that. Because I noticed that you do, like, a lot of limited edition release cassettes, and, like, you send, like, a little card that you sign, and that, like, that shows that you're appreciative about that. What made you, like, want to add that little card with it?
I just saw, you know, no one else was really, you know, doing something. You know, I saw the guys at Gourmet Deluxe, they're giving you a little letter, so I thought that was cool. I was inspired by them, but I thought, you know, the little certificate of authenticity that said, you know, this is a handmade product, here's the number, like, I personally, trust me, there's nobody else, it's only me, I put the shit together, everything by hand, the artwork, I fucking cut it out, I put it together, I pasted it together, and I shipped it to you all by myself. So I just figured, you know, it's just added value. I mean, $30 is expensive for a tape, I'm not gonna lie, but I think it's worth every penny.
Yeah, because you put, it's not like you just like, all right, I'm just gonna throw this sticker on really fast. You take your time with it.
Yeah, and, you know, to be honest, you know, I'm like really running behind on orders, and I'm doing my best to get them out, you know, but I'm just doing the best I can and getting them out as fast as I can, and because I won't put out anything that's less than perfect. So, you know, I'm making sure everybody gets the right shit.
And you can rush art too, so that's good. You take your time with it.
Yeah. You know, but one of my main goals in 2019 is to speed this shit up so people get their shit on time, because I know how it is as a customer. A lot of people, you know, I've been lucky fans that completely understand. I'm good customer service. I get right back to everybody, explain that I'm sorry, and they're cool as hell. But, you know, obviously, as a customer, I'll be pissed off too. Takes a long time, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, not a lot. Everyone's not understanding.
Yeah.
So. Also, too, you're also working with artists too. You must come across a lot of dope underground artists that hit you up all the time.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I've been, you know, hit up by a lot of guys who I like and respect and would love to work with, but unfortunately right now, there's just so much stuff that I have to turn down because, I already have obligations to other guys that I haven't fulfilled, and I'm a man of my word, so I can't promise something I can't deliver on, you know?
Yeah, and see, that's good that you go back and finish what you started instead of leaving it half done, too.
Yeah, I
got to
be careful.
Yes, very. Because I always do my research on my guests, too, and I noticed that I heard him a few times, actually, but I was wondering, for the people who don't know, can you explain who Sauce Heist is?
So, you know, it's a weird story how I met Sauce. I actually met him at the Griselda on Steroids show at Webster Hall. And I didn't know who Sauce Heist was at the time, but we just happened to be standing next to each other. And a few months later, he just happened to DM me, and he said, "Hey, were you the guy standing next to me at the concert?" And I said, "Yeah." And kind of from there, we just, you know, became good friends. And, you know, I think Sauce is one of the most important artists of our time. He's really just getting started, and he's getting better literally with every verse, and if you really listen to some of his shit, he has some of the most complex rhymes out there, and he's a very smart and talented and dedicated individual.
Would you say, because I noticed that he's in your bio, would you say that you would managing him or mentoring him?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, we're partners, but yeah, I manage him. I mean, you know, if someone needs a verse, like, literally just yesterday, you know, I've been in contact with a producer, and we arrange a verse. Sort of literally before I got off the phone with you, I was on the phone with Sauce, and he's recording the verse right now. So,
okay,
I act like a verse. We're going up to Shade 45 on the 25th. The show will actually air on the 27th, which is Sunday night, 10 to 12. I'll be up there with Sauce Heist and Jay Royale on the Raps Out of Control with DJ Eclipse. I'll make sure everybody tunes into that.
Yeah, rap Out of Control, we're having a lot of people up there I interviewed. Would that, that wouldn't be your first time at Shady 45, or is it?
Yeah, that's my first time up there, yeah.
Oh, okay, well, congrats on that, sir.
Thank you.
Also, too, you also did distribution with a few of my guys, they're very good people, especially Bless, God Bless, very good people. Just wondering, too, how did the Lord Targ Volume 2 distribution come about with Flea Lord?
So, long time, it really just kind of happened organically, I guess, through Instagram, like, a long time ago when Flea was posting pictures of a track that he was on, I Want Out, with, what's his name, from Infamous Mob.
Big Twins,
right. So he was posting that track. So I just out of nowhere, that was like when I was just getting started doing artwork. So I just made up artwork real quick, and I sent it to him. And he's like, yo, I want to use that for the cover, as a matter of fact. So it ended up being the cover of I Want Out. And, you know, Flea one day, he just invited me out to the studio out in Brooklyn. And since then, he just, you know, we kicked it since then. And, you know, when I heard he was making Lord Talk 2, I said, hey, man, we got to put out the tapes. And he said, let's do it.
And the tapes sold out. I was trying to get one.
Yeah. I mean, I knew it would. I mean, you know, obviously West Side Gun and Conway were on there. Those guys are big names. Not that Flea wouldn't have sold out by himself, but obviously anything with those guys sells out.
Oh, yeah. Quickly. Those beats hit hard, too, especially that Kill 'Em with the Rest of Crime Apple.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, in my opinion, you know, that's like one of the, you know, the top three albums this year is...
Oh, it definitely... I put that in my top three, actually.
Yeah, that, you know, that album... Sauce Heist and Knowledge of Pirate, you know, top three albums this year, in my opinion.
So, could you manage Sauce Heist? Is there any other artist in the underground scene that you manage?
I'm doing a little bit of management with Jay Royale. You know, we're kind of working together hand in hand with pretty much everything that he puts out. So, you know, we have a lot of stuff. I can't talk about a lot, but we're coming out with a track real soon. Jay Royale and Ito, which is fucking fire. He's got another one with Supreme Cerebral, that's fire. He's got one with Jay Cyanide, that's fire. And he's recording a whole nother album at the same time as well. So, you know, and then the Ivory Stoop, there's only three copies left of the tape on my site, and then the album pre-orders are going to be in January.
So also... So also too, with JL Royal too, you've done like a lot of artists that are well known, like a Court Mega release I seen that you done for the True Meaning. Is there any artist out there that you done more limited runs for, like a Court Mega, that people may know of?
Somebody bigger than Cool Mega, you mean?
Like a more well-known rapper, let's say.
The project that's coming out that I can't talk about is hosted by probably one of the biggest hip-hop legends that is in ever existence. I can't announce it yet because the artist hasn't announced it yet. So, but I'm really proud of that. Not as of yet. You know, I did the Reject on Steroids. I was pretty proud of that. You know, that was hosted by DJ Green Lantern. That had Royce 5'9" on it. You know, and then the AWAR tape that we put out with, you know, he had a star-studded lineup, which had, you know, Jadakiss, Styles P, Raekwon, Cormega, you know, Anthony Hamilton, production by, you know, Lord Finesse. So, you know, that was, you know, pretty important to me.
Oh, yeah, that's DIC right there.
Yeah.
Also too, with everything that you got going on right now, what are some of the artists, because I believe you can speak things into existence, what are artists that you would like to work with in the future?
You know, in 2019, you know, I definitely have plans. You know, I'm really trying to build a lot with the artists that I've already built with. I mean, Soul Science and Jay Royale are my guys. I'm really interested in getting them going. You know, the guys from Heist Life, Ty the Dale, and Baby Main Heist. I think those three are three really talented guys. I really want to focus on pushing those guys. I'm going to be pushing the album by, we just dropped the single on New Year's Eve with Enox and Who. The album is produced by Troop the Producer. I'm mixing and mastering it. It's crazy. So that's definitely going to be dope. But, you know, I'm like a really big fan of SD Knack. I think what he's doing is really dope. I really like Code 9. You know, so I'm definitely going to be reaching out to those guys to work. I did some artwork for, you know, Rome Streets. You know, I've been in contact with him a lot. I think he's also one of the talented. We have actually some stuff in the bag that's going to be announced soon, so.
So would you say that bringing back cassettes and vinyl would be the wave of the future, and you're on it, like, ahead of your time type of thing?
I think if I had to predict, what I hope is happening is that, you know, streaming will be a way that obviously some masses, you know, the masses will always listen to something that's free and it's brainless to listen to, but I think people will start appreciating rap and the physical forms of rap, like vinyl, cassette, and CDs and such, as like a true piece of art form that's collectible and, you know, collectible like a piece of fine, a painting or anything like that. So, you know, it's really trying to create, you know, I like to call it, like, you know, we've thrown around the term, you know, the new golden age, you know, the new golden era, because, you know, there was like a golden era, but I like try to call it the new golden age, where it's more like a renaissance, where we're really reinventing what hip-hop really is, where it's a true art form, and especially, you know, with things like, you know, the latest cut vinyls that we're doing, like, that is recorded in Brooklyn, and it's physically cut in real time into a piece of plastic, like, it's handmade from start to finish, like, literally, you know, it's a real piece of art, like, you know, the people who got the 10 copies of, you know, the Soul Sauce, like, that's a real handmade piece of art, you know, to every single piece of it. So
it's not like, you know, all machine made. Yeah.
You know, we're really trying to create like a renaissance.
So, like, do you keep like, because you do a lot of work, from what I've seen on your Instagram, do you keep like a cassette, a vinyl, and a CD for each project that you're affiliated with, or did you help do a limited run with? Just as a reminder?
Yeah. I mean, whenever we come out, so whenever we do a release, let's say there's like 30 copies, we always made, because the artists will get promo copies to keep themselves, and I always, of course, keep a few copies, and then, you know, I have connections with, you know, a bunch of media outlets, so I'll be sending copies, you know, to those guys as well.
Well, that's good that you always keep some for yourself too, like, because, like, it just as a reminder, as, like, you know, as, like, yeah, I did that in this year.
Yeah. I'm a big collector. I have over 10,000 vinyl
and
you know, plus 100 cassettes, you know.
What do you, like, because, like, I'm just getting into vinyl, because I notice, like, how it sounds. It's like a more warmer sound. I'm just wondering, too, because you're probably a lot older than me, so I'm born in 91. What do you prefer listening to, cassettes or vinyl?
When I'm at home, I most exclusively listen to vinyl. You know, cassettes have a different sound. You know, I have a reel-to-reel machine in my studio, which I'll bounce, you know, like drums and stuff, too. You can't really fake that analog sound. It's not that it sounds better or worse, it just sounds different.
Okay. So, like, with everything, with vinyl, having, like, so much vinyl, too, is it hard to store all of it? Like, do you have, like, a, is it, like, a showcase or something like that, or you just keep it in crates?
I have the shelves from IKEA, and I have crates, and it also takes over my entire house as well. But it's close to an obsession. I have way too many.
You know, vinyl, I'm still even looking for that CD, too. It's an all-time underground classic, and I'll be amazed if you have this. Internal Affairs.
Yeah, no. I actually got rid of all my CDs and a long time ago, and actually I have a big collection now again, but I have nothing over it, unfortunately.
Yeah, those Raucous releases, oh man, those are definitely up in value now.
Yeah, of course I had all those.
So, also too, with that too, would you ever think that, let's say like in, I don't know, 40 years from now, some of your things would be viewed as a Raucous release?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I mean, that's what we're working for. I know some of these guys are going to be treated as legends. You know, they're going to be around for a long time.
Yeah, you can tell.
I'm just trying to make a name, for myself. I've been into it for such a long time. I've really wanted to do it for such a long time, and I've learned a lot of business. I think now is the time for me to really jump in and help some guys out that I think can make it and make my own impact at the same time.
So, as yourself, as an artist, who would you like to work with?
Definitely Redman. You know, he's one of my favorites. I love Wu-Tang. We were fortunate enough to get Hellraiser on the 7-inch vinyl. That was he's had a relationship with Widowmaker, so I was pretty happy about that. I really just want to support the underground movement. I'd like to work with FDNAC. I'd like to work with Cold Nine. Obviously, Nas is my favorite rapper. I'd love to work with him, but I really wasn't a big fan of his last album. I don't know what he's doing.
Me neither.
I'd like working with these underground guys. If we can make something, I'm confident we can really bring this into the mainstream, and we can all start eating off it and make it the right way.
Would you ever consider doing A&R?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm open to any possibilities. Whatever gets the music out there, really.
So, like I said, I believe in like bridging the gap too. When you were coming up, to who are you listening to outside of rap, or were you like always like me? I listen to all the music, but I'm literally just straight rap.
Yeah, I would say 90% of what I listen to is hip-hop. I'll listen to like stuff like Anderson .Paak and Frank Ocean and Dream. I listen to like some R&B and like some soft gay shit also.
No, it's all good. I love a little bit of Frank Ocean. That dude can hit some melodies.
Yeah, I really like Frank Ocean. I listen to that type of stuff. I have 10,000 records, and I do a lot of like sample digging and fucking around with my MPC, so I listen to all kinds of records all the time.
Go ahead, sir.
I listen to everything. Yeah, definitely. I mean, 90% of the time I'm listening to hip hop.
So from a Trevor Lane's standpoint, what would you say? Who would you say that had like the best underground song of 2018?
Who had the best song of 2018?
Like underground wise, not mainstream wise, so.
Honestly, it's hard for me to pick. Did the Cannibal by Conway come down?
Oh, sorry, what's that? So you're cutting out.
The song The Cow by Conway. Does that come out this year?
I actually got that. Let's see, let me check. 2017.
I mean, they would have to be. I'd have to probably say it's one of the Source Heist tracks. It would be hard for me to pick one.
Okay, I know it's a tough question. I just like coming up with unique questions like that too.
Yeah, picking one song, man, it's super hard. I was gonna put out like a top 20 like album list, but people off, so I'm not gonna do anything like that.
So with everything that you've done, would you ever consider putting out like a Trevor Lane greatest hits project featuring like everybody you worked with, but like just a one song by them, like on a tape or something like that?
So what we have plans to do right now is myself and Widowmaker. We've already came out the first one. It was called Beast with Kay Burns. You know, so basically what I'm trying to do is every artist that I'm putting a project out with in 2019, I want them to also put out a single with Widowmaker, which will release for free, you know, on my Bandcamp. And then once I have like at least 10 songs, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put those together and I'm actually going to put out a free tape. All you'll have to do is pay for shit. And I'll probably only make like 100 copies or something, but get free tape, all you have to do is pay for shipping, and so that'll be like a compilation of sorts. And I have some pretty interesting theme albums that aren't written in stone yet that I can't really talk about, but I think it's some new stuff that's never been done before, so I think it's going to be a really interesting year.
It's all about elevating the culture and pushing it forward too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be some really new and exciting stuff that people are really going to enjoy. If it works out, I've tried some stuff that, you know, I made a lot of mistakes in 2018, but, you know, I learned from them all, and I think we're going to have a really good year in 2019.
Would you, with, like, cassettes and everything like that coming out, I mean, like, making a comeback, would you ever consider making like a documentary of like everything you've done and selling it like as a DVD? Because I believe those will come back.
Yeah. I mean, we actually, I've had a few discussions with Thaddeus Gold about actually making a VHS and putting that out. So we might be doing something with that. That might be kind of cool.
Man, I hope these kids know what that is.
Yeah, we might have to sell them the VCR as well.
Yeah, I never thought about that. Actually, because like I know what I grew up. I was born in 91, so obviously I know what that is too. But you keep it very, very 90s too. And when you were inspired by that Wu-Tang track, by that Wu-Tang album, as a fan, what did that make you feel? Knowing we will never be able to hear that within, like, I think it was, like, 79 years or some number like that?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty upset. I know that it was, like, a surprise showing at the MoMA where they played, I think, four, maybe five tracks. They did not advertise that at all, so I could not make it. It was supposed to actually go on tour where you would go in the stadium. You would, like, check your cell phone at the door. Everybody would get a pair of headphones, and you would, like, sit down and listen to the album. I thought it was supposed to go on, like, a world tour, and then they were going to auction it off. But, unfortunately, that never happened. You know, I know Skrelly, he played some of it on YouTube, so I listened to, like, the shitty version. You know, unfortunately, that got fucked up. I have a feeling we'll hear it soon, you know, but the whole thought of it, you know, the whole Wu-Tang, it seemed like they were really upset with it, but I saw the bigger picture that it did. It really increased the value of music in general and really changed the entire way to look at it.
Yeah, because, like, if you think about it, that's like the modern-day Mona Lisa to us.
Exactly.
I still say Ghost Fisher slapped the hell out of Shkreli.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. He doesn't have it anymore, so we'll see what happens with that. You know, maybe we'll get to hear it.
Exactly, one day. And also, too, Mr. Trevor Lane, I don't want to take up most of your time, too, but I interviewed a lot of well-known rappers that you may know of, like a Crooked Eye or Raz Kaz or Petey Crack or Buckshot or General Steel. This is a question that I asked all of them, too, and I want you to be included on that list. You got any words for somebody in a dark place trying to see the light?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, I personally, I've been having, like, a real rough time these past couple months. But, you know, there's always, you know, in order to see the light, you know, you got to see the darkness. So, you know, shit always gets better, and there's always a better day. And, you know, you just got to keep trucking and just keep working your hardest. And you know, I think if you, as long as you're doing every day what you're passionate about and working hard, I think everybody can make it. I think everybody got a place in life, you know, and nobody should be ashamed of anything they're doing, you know, and as long as we all live our life to the fullest, you know, I think we're all doing our best, you know, so.
A great answer, Mr. Lane, too. Also, I understand that you're a very busy man, and I appreciate that answer. Is there anything that you like to plug in before I let you go?
No, I just think everybody should, you know, keep an eye on IamTrevorLane.com. Follow me at IamTrevorLane on both Twitter and Instagram. You know, I post a lot of good stuff on there. I've been really sick recently, so it's been kind of dead, but I post on there a whole lot. You know, I'm coming with a lot of good stuff. I'm debuting fucking shitload of music, so if you want to hear it first, definitely keep an eye on there. You know, like I said, make sure you guys listen on September 27th on SiriusXM, Shade 45. We'll be on there from 10 to 12. Both myself, Sourcebase, and Jay Royale.
And with that being said, that's another episode from the Desk of Low featuring Trevor Lane. I appreciate you, Trevor Lane, and we're definitely going to look out for everything in the future. And I'm always loyal to my guests, so whenever I get a chance, I'll cop a tape or two, sir.
Oh, thank you for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you too, sir.